Last two verses, and then we'll go back to Romans 1 after a bit. Okay, this is basically, hopefully I give you the two basic philosophies of life. A lot of times when you have so many things to look at, it's hard to narrow things down. If you get things down to two issues, like in sports, you have one team versus another. And this is how you can actually see the picture. This is basically, there's only two philosophies of life. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. It says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred from the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Okay, he's given Timothy a warning. The oppositions will be the faith that Timothy's been given, verse 20, through the Apostle Paul, 20 and 21. And the opposition is something that claims to be scientific. See, it says oppositions of science, but then in the Bible it says falsely so-called. Okay, so that's the contrast there. Okay, and then so let's go ahead and pray and we'll get into this. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand this. I pray you'd help us to be able to grasp this thing about life, the philosophy of life. And I pray that this would be able to help us, first off, to be consistent in our lives. And secondly, to be able to be a more effective witness to others, and that we might understand why we do what we do, or why we believe what we believe. And I pray you'd help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, back in Romans 1. A lot of times when, most men, when we go shopping, it would be a lot easier if they just stuck one product on the shelf. You walk in, walk out, you're done. To me, it's frustrating if they put five products there, the same thing. Then automatically my Dutch ways kick in and I got to figure out which one's cheapest, or the best quality for the money. If they just had one thing, it's nice. The other day I went to Walmart. I think I had a record. I was out probably in 2 minutes. Walked in, got ice, walked out. That's the kind of shopping I like, But a lot of times when you have a bunch of items you got to choose from, a lot of times when you can narrow things down to one of two things, it makes things a lot understandable. For example, we got two types of people in this room, male and female. Okay, nothing hard about that, right? Okay, you have two types of individuals in the world, saved or lost. As far as born-again people, you have two types of born-again people, spiritual or carnal. That's the choice. If you look at politics and government, you have two types of governments throughout the world. There's only two. You say, well, there's fascism, Nazism, socialism. Yeah, I know that. But you boil them down to two. One is the government controls the people. That's fascism, Nazism, democracy, socialism, dictatorship, monarchy, oligarchy. That's all that it is. Somebody at the top controls everybody else. Most of the time, it's an oligarchy where it's a small group of people. The other is the people control the government. That is known as a constitutional republic. That's how this country began, but now you can see it's an oligarchy. Ones at the top controlling the ones at the bottom. You see, that's how it is. That's all you see, how it degenerates down that realm. Those are the two governments you have, whether you call it fascism, Nazism, socialism, it doesn't matter. The ones at the top are controlling the ones at the bottom. Okay, you have two destinations after you're dead. After your soul leaves your body, you have one of two destinations, heaven or hell. I know the Catholic Church has tried to throw in purgatory. That's for monetary reasons. Okay, that's really what it's for. It's to raise money. Okay, there's a Catholic fella died down in our area, and I went to his funeral, and I heard a priest say that he's in heaven right now. I'm wondering how he bypassed that thing. Well, I found out from his wife, he gave 10 grand to the church. That's what she said. He gave 10,000 and that bypassed purgatory. He got a free get out of jail card. Okay, and hey, that's, I'm just telling you what she told me. Okay, so you have two destinations, heaven or hell. You have two religions in the world. I know you got all these different brands, but there are basically two types. Let's use the word religion, use it loosely. You have one where you have to do something to get nirvana, utopia, or whatnot. You do have to do something. You know, whether, you know, it's this, you know, you don't, each one has a little different thing you got to do. And then there's biblical Christianity where you don't do anything to get eternal life. You come to Jesus Christ and he gives you the free gift. One is a religion of works. That's all the other. What do you call Buddhism, Confucianism, Taoism? I don't care what you want to call it. You know, worshiping the earth god. You know, Mohammedism. You know, whatever. They got to do something to get eternal life, where Christianity is done by Jesus Christ. You see, the first birth was a gift. The second birth, it got to be the same. Okay, so that's your two basic religions. If you go to the Christian bookstore, you'll find multiple different translations. All sorts of translations, but technically, there's only two types of English Bibles. There's one that the roots come from Israel and goes up to Antioch of Syria. That's where they were first called Christians. Then the other one, it went from Israel down to Egypt, and somebody down to Egypt messed with them. And that's where all the new Bibles come from. The same manuscripts that produce the NIV, the New American Standard, are the same manuscripts that produces the Jehovah Witness Bible and the Douay Rheims. Same manuscript. Two types of Bibles, one from Israel, one from Egypt. Anybody logically can figure out which would be the best. Now, there's two viewpoints of life. Okay, when you deal with the earth, you deal with the world as a whole, there's only two viewpoints when you can narrow it down. You can do this very logically, and you're not going to think of anything else. I wish they would teach all of these in the Christians in this public schools. It used to be in the public school that they would teach creation and evolution. Well, they said that that was bigotry to teach both of them, so they pulled out creation, you see. And basically what they did is they first taught creation, then with these dopes, Scopes trials, they said it was bigotry to just teach one, so then they threw in evolution, then they changed it. No, now it's bigotry to teach creation, so they booted that out. I wish they'd teach both of them, teach all of them, so you can get the real perspective. Okay, so there's really only two. Now, one of them, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul said to Timothy, oppositions of science falsely so called. So there's the key word science. Now it's interesting, there's only one of the two types of Bibles I mentioned. Okay? What Bible you got in your lap? In 1 Timothy 6, verse 20, if the word science is not in the verse, you got the other type. Okay? The right one has science in the verse. All the other fakes do not. Okay, they changed the word science. The word science is only found two times in your Bible. Daniel 1, verse 4 is the other occurrence. It's a reference to Daniel when he was studying under, when he was forced under the government-controlled centers of indoctrination of Babylon. Okay, that's the other time. What is science? Okay, if you get any dictionary, science, here's the definition from a Webster's. Science is defined to be this. It's a systemized knowledge derived from observation, study, and experimentation carried on in order to determine the nature and principles of what is being studied. Okay, simplistically, science is you coming up with a conclusion, an idea. After you observe something, you studied it, or you experimented with it. In other words, it's your personal observation. Okay, back in 1 Timothy 6, he said, science falsely so called. Now, that only you can only narrow down the world philosophies of people when you look at life down to two perspectives. One is, basically the idea is, how did the world get here? Okay? One is going to be scientific, one is not going to be scientific. Okay? One is you can follow it scientifically. Now, basically, you can obviously see where it's headed in Romans chapter 1. If you would, look in Romans 1, starting in verse 18. Okay, these two viewpoints will determine one's life's pattern, how you look at life. First, Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now again, those two English Bibles I mentioned, the two different types, the right one will say, will hold the truth in righteousness. The other one will say something like, not exchange, but will suppress. That's the word, will suppress the truth. Okay, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that by that which by may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Okay, here's your college professor. That's where he gets his title, right there. He don't get it out of the science books. He gets it right there. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image make like corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Okay, now if you look at 23 backwards, there's one viewpoint. Creeping things, beast, birds, man. Amoeba, you know, one cell life form, and then it gets multiple cells. Then it gets out of the water and it breathes air, becomes, you know, man, and next step is God. Okay, that's Darwin. That's Charles Darwin right there. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Okay, there's one viewpoint right there. One viewpoint is a focus on the creation. The other viewpoint is a focus on the creator. That's your two views. You're not going to get any different. Those are the two. Okay? Okay, here we are on planet Earth. How did it get here? Okay, the creation side, meaning they're going to focus on the creation or nature, they have one of two choices. You can even narrow theirs down. They have one of two choices. How did the earth get here? None of us saw it, right? I don't think anybody's 6,000 years old or older. If you're on the creator side, the max you could be is 6,000 if you want to witness it personally. On the other side, you only got to give or take, you know, 2 or 3 billion. It's pretty precise on that side. Okay? Okay, so on one side, it's this one, on the other side, the creator side. Now, how did the earth get here? On the creation side, these are the people who look at the creation. Now, their Bible is known as the Origin of the Species. Okay, this is Charles Darwin's book. Oh, I do have it right side up. Okay, that's it. That's volume one. There's volume two. If you have a hard time sleeping at night, I would suggest this reading. This will do a very good job. Now, it's interesting, does anybody know the full title of this book, The Origin of the Species? The Origin of the Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. According to the media, doesn't that sound a little racist? This is the evolutionist Bible right here. Charles Darwin's only degree was theology. It was not a degree in science at all. Okay, these people claim to be scientific. After reading one chapter, the summary goes like this. Looking to the first dawn of life. So he's going to try to figure out the first dawn of life, you know, that took place billions of years ago. He says, when all organic beings, as we may believe, presented the simplest structure, how, it has been asked, could the first steps in the advancement or differentiation of parts have risen? Okay, how did it get started, he said. So he quotes this guy, and then he says this, but as we have no facts to guide us, speculation on the subject is almost useless. That's what he said. Okay, it is, however, an error to suppose that there would be no struggle for existence, and consequently, no natural selection. until many forms have been produced. Variations in a single species inhabiting an isolated station might be beneficial, and thus the whole mass of individuals might be modified, or two distinct forms might arise. Pretty precise, isn't he? No facts. This is the Bible for all evolutionists. Right there. Okay? So how are they going to try to figure it out? They read this, you try to figure it out. Okay, you have one of two choices. The earth is here. How did it get here? Okay, it got here. It's been here naturally, all by itself, forever. The earth is eternal. Mother Nature has been eternal. Okay, that's one choice. The other choice is that it created itself naturally out of nothing. Many billions of years ago, there was a nothingness, and a rock evolved, and then that rock exploded and put all the planets in perfectly alignment that you can set your clock to it. And then one of these planets, a little amoeba popped out, you know, like a zit, and then it sprouted arms and eventually came out of the water, okay? That did it all that naturally, just by nature. Okay, that's your two choices. That's all you got. You're not going to get anything better. It either did it by itself naturally, or it's always been here. Okay, what is the scientific? How can they recreate this in science? They can't. That's why it's science falsely so-called. They cannot observe it. You cannot observe it. You cannot take a test tube, put it in the laboratory, in the science, nothing in the test tube, and eventually a dog comes out of there. You know? They cannot recreate it. Now, here's what one of the Nobel Peace Prize winners said. George Wald. George is a follower of this. Nobel Peace Prize. You know, Al Gore and company. Here's what he said. There are only two possible explanations as to how life arose. Hey, I'm in agreement with this gentleman. I should get the Nobel Peace Prize. He said, spontaneous generation arising to evolution or a supernatural God. One of the two. Very logical up to this point. There's no other possibility. Spontaneous generation was scientifically disproved 120 years ago by Louis Pasteur and others. But that just leaves us with only one other possibility. That life came as a supernatural act of creation by God. Amen. But I can't accept that philosophy because I do not want to believe in God. Therefore, I choose to believe in that which I know is scientifically impossible, spontaneous generation leading to evolution. That's this one. Now, he is honest about his dishonesty. Now, I appreciate that. That's a confession. He needs to be in a telephone booth and confess it to somebody. Okay, that's one viewpoint. They focus on the creation. The other viewpoint is they focus on the Creator. Okay, that is obviously Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's how our Bible starts off. In Hebrews chapter 11, it mentions this creation. And it says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, verse 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Notice the word framed, as in framing a house. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 6, Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay, so one group focuses on the creation, the other group focuses on the Creator. One group tries to use science to prove their theory, but from this gentleman's admission, they can't. They cannot prove it. They can disprove it. How do we know the earth has not been here eternally? Well, it's very simple. All clocks run down. You see, if it's been here a long, long time, it would have evolved into a gray mesh years ago because your cell phone wears out. Your car wears out. Your house wears out. You wear out. We're all going down. Darwin says we started in the puddle and we're going up to paradise. The Bible says we started in paradise and you're going down to the puddle. Okay, now that's logical and that's scientific. You can prove that. Okay, and so the proof of scientific proof, can you observe it? Can you recreate it? Yes. This building, how did it get here? Well, obviously, it evolved through millions and millions of years. And somebody wanted to have a church building and they came here. And look, here it was. Well, obviously, we see a building. Did anybody witness this building being built? Anybody in here? I don't know if anybody's been here long enough. Brother Dick, Marianne. Okay, we have two witnesses, three witnesses that have seen it. We have to take their testimony. Now, was it here when you showed up? Did it evolve here? Or some intelligent person put it up? Okay, so a creator had to do it. Okay, of course, our cars out there, you know, it had to be some intelligence to put those together. I know if it was put on Monday, they weren't probably real intelligent on if you got one that's built on Monday. But even at that, you had to have somebody. You got clothes. Somebody made those. You see? The viewpoint that this Bible shows is a scientific viewpoint where you and I can demonstrate it. We can experiment with it. We can observe it. Okay, one viewpoint focused on the creation, that it did it itself. They worship the creation, then all the animals and all this stuff. The other side worships the creator. Now, what are the similarities between both viewpoints? The similarities are is they both require faith. None of us saw the world get created. None of us saw it. So, we have a written account that it has been created by God. You and I can see some of the evidence of that. And when you start studying the things in nature, you can see the evidence of God's influence. Science on this side, they got no science on this side, from their own admission. Okay? So they got to have more faith on that side than they do on the creation side. I think people are really evolutionists, they're not dealing with a full deck. Or they have a monetary reason for it. That is what Mr. George Wald's problem was, is he had a monetary reason for it. Okay, so the one similarity is there's faith on both sides. That requires more faith on the evolutionary side. The second thing that's similar is they both have hypocritical followers. Both sides are hypocrites. Now, on this side, let's look at the hypocrites on this side. On the evolutionary side, there are absolutely zero consistent followers. None. You're not going to find one individual on the planet Earth that follows evolutionary ideas 100% consistently. You're never going to find one. Now, Hitler came close. Charles Manson came close. Stalin, they were in the makings. Every communist and evolutionist. What do I mean? Okay? If a guy evolved from the amoeba, where are the rules? Who needs rules? There's no such thing as rules. What is the one rule in the jungle? Survival. Adolf Hitler survived over 22 million people. I've talked to many young people that we get talking about evolution, and they get talking, and I kind of set them up, and I look at them and smile. I said, so Adolf Hitler, your hero? And boy, does their face drop when I say that. Hey, come on! Adolf Hitler did what an evolutionist says you're supposed to do. Killing is not wrong. Murder is not wrong. Survival of the fittest is the only thing. You see, when you're dealing with animals, people say, well, we're animals, we're mammals. No, we're not. You see, I mean, come on. All evolutionists have a system of morals and rules somewhere. All of them. Even the ones, animals don't got clothes on. But you go down to the Ponderosa Sun Club and naked city down there, they're not going to come out of there naked. They're going to have clothes on.
Where did it come up for that? Glad for that. People wear clothes. Why do we wear clothes? Go back to this Bible and you'll find out why. There are absolutely no consistent followers of evolution. None whatsoever. You're not going to find them. There are no, okay, we have in animals, we have veterinarians, right? Why aren't there any animal psychologists? Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil, you know, on this program, he's going to bring in a couple poodles. Where these two German shepherds harassed them because they looked real cute with their curly hair. You know, all a poodle is a bottle of perm that sprung legs. You know, that's what a poodle is. You know, but you see, animals don't feel guilty for murder. You know what psychology is? Psychology is somebody who is trying to analyze you spiritually without the Bible. That's what psychology is. It's a psychosomatic. It's looking into the soul, but they're trying to do it without God. And they're trying to figure out, why do people get these guilt feelings? Why do they feel sorry for things? Our dog Duke, what a dog. He's a killer. I have yet to see him crying in the garage for killing these two little bunny rabbits. He hasn't cried over that. He doesn't care. He is so hard. He is such a hardened criminal that it doesn't bat an eye. When he jumped from tombstone to tombstone trying to catch these squirrels when we take a walk in a graveyard, it's like he's enjoying it. When he tears apart, you know, this rabbit or this gopher that he sees, rah, 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 just tears up, he just walks away. No guilt. I don't have to give him any medication to just suppress his sorrow. None whatsoever. I have not had to call any animal doctor to, you know, help him deal with his violent nature. None whatsoever. I mean, hogs are smarter than dogs. I haven't had to call Pigmund Freud to come in. You know, lay him down on a sofa and Pigmund asks Duke, how's life treating you? Ruff! You know, oh, it's that bad, huh? No, I haven't had none of that stuff. You see, no animal is upset. You know, when he chases a cat up a tree, I'm sitting there getting a kick out of it, you know. He doesn't sit at the bottom and say, oh, I bet that cat has got a mother that's really concerned for it. Now, he enjoys it. He enjoys it. I mean, none of these evolutionists, they're not consistent. I got a rooster. Got about 18 hens. He's a polygamist. I mean, I have yet to see those hens complain about his unfaithfulness to them. They have never gotten upset. I have not had to call any marriage counseling in to help separate them. I have not seen my chickens cry because I stole their baby. I aborted their baby. You know, when we cook the eggs, that's an abortion. They have not felt sorry for that. I even would steal it from while they're sitting on there. And they just go off, you know, like that. I mean, we have yet, Duke does not feel sorry when you steal somebody's food. When Sebastian died, those two were great killers for squirrels. I mean, there'd be a squirrel about 100 feet away from the tree. And one of them would hightail it for the tree, the other one would hightail it for the squirrel. And they would, boy, they'd get that squirrel that way. But Duke's having a harder time when he don't have his buddy, Sebastian. Now, when Sebastian was on his deathbed, he never apologized to me about, you know, mistreating Duke. He never felt sorry about that. I mean, when I'd throw some food out there, Sebastian would be the hog. I mean, he wouldn't give anything to Duke, and Duke would just sit there. He wouldn't be offended. He wouldn't go cry about it. You know, you see, this animal's in nature. Come on, I mean, we're different than these things. Why is it that we have all these emotions when we do wrong? You know, when Duke has mistreated another dog, he don't care. When he gets mistreated by another dog, I don't take him to a psychiatrist. You see, what's the difference between when you see a dead deer along the road and a dead attorney? skid marks in front of the deer. That's what you see. But Steve was going to do some work, spray in some field, and one of the men walked out into the woods, and they found a dead body, a human. Now, if they would have found a dead raccoon, do you think they would have called the police? Come on, that's a former ancestor. You see, why is they so inconsistent? There are no consistent evolutionists, none whatsoever. You're not going to find one that's consistent with it. I mean, all the people that are concerned for the animals that are extinct. Are they concerned for the mosquito that's landed on them? It's an animal. They're going to swat it? Oh, that's an endangered species. You know, let it bite them so they can get sick. I don't know. You see, every one of these evolutions, every last one of them are hypocrites. Every one of them. That when they react to the violation of rules, oh, do they get upset. When people violate the rules of life, conviction comes in, guilt comes in, sorrow comes in, but not with any of the other animals. We're different. We're different. God has put something in our hearts about spirituality. You see? Now, on the creation side, okay, on the evolutionary side, there are absolutely no consistent followers. None. They don't follow their faith at all. Not 100% all the time. Now, on this side, yeah, we got hypocrites on this side too. But you're going to find on this side, at least they're attempting to be faithful to their creator. Now, the problem on this side is we got so many enemies on our side. You got to fight with your flesh. You got to fight with the world system. You got to fight with the devil himself. But on this side, probably the best example would be the Apostle Paul, which did the exact contrary to what human nature says. Human nature says it's me first and you next. Paul said, it's Jesus Christ first and whatever happens to me happens. You see, now there's something that's different. Now on this side of the coin, you're going to find hypocrites. You're going to find hypocrites in all of them on this side. Now what are the basic differences between these two beliefs? On this side, life on earth is strictly for man and his happiness. That's this side. For man and his happiness, whatever makes me happy. What made Charles Manson happy? Kill a bunch of people. What's the problem? Come on, he was just meeting his natural instincts of life. Why did he put him in jail? What's wrong? Why should we have jails? The purpose of jail is because somebody said it's wrong to murder. Somebody did. It was a creator. Somebody said, laid out the rules, thou shalt not steal. It wasn't the evolutionary side. I was talking to one of these kids down at Purdue one time, and he's a big-time evolutionist. So we got talking about things, and I said, where's your standards at? Well, I just think live and just live the way you want to live. I said, so can I punch you in the face right now? Because that would give me a lot of pleasure. I'd enjoy that. Oh, pain. Oh, pain. No, pain. Oh, I said, so you do have a level of standard somewhere. Where'd he come up with that? You see, they all got a level somewhere. Somewhere along the line. You see, the differences are their side is life on earth is strictly for man and his happiness. Basically, the three ways that an animal lives is self-preservation, self-gratification, self-propagation. Self-preservation, me first and you next. When I maybe fail to feed the chickens, and I throw some feed in there, man, they will get all on top of each other. You ever see little chicks when you throw some food in there? Man, they're stepping on each other. You ever watch them little chicks? When they walk, I'm going to sit down, they step on one. Can you imagine just walk? Okay, you're going to walk in the auditorium. You want to sit in that seat. You step on somebody. And what? They're going to say something, right? Hey, not them chickens. You know, they care nothing about each other's emotions, none whatsoever. Self-preservation, self-gratification, okay, that's the pleasures of life. I'm just going to live and do what I want. If I'm hot, I'm going to try to get cooler. If I'm cool, I'm going to try to get warmer. You see, and our temperature range is a very small range. You know, anywhere from 68 to 75, that's about the comfortable range. You get above 75, people gripe about the heat. Get down below 65, people gripe about the cold. You see, they're going to gripe about anything. Self-preservation, self-gratification, self-propagation, there's just a continuation of the species. That's the three instincts of an animal. We're supposed to live above that. Now, granted, we have some of those because we've got the flesh. Now, the viewpoint on this side is life on earth is for God and His pleasure. Revelation 4, verse 11, it says that the Lord created all things for His pleasure. Life on this side is for God and His pleasure. Life on this side is for man and his pleasure. Now, on this side of the coin, wise is the creation who finds out what pleases his creator and does it. That's the wise ones. Wise is a creation on this side who prepares for the day of reckoning in front of his creator. Wise is that one. You see, the whole motive on this side is to get rid of God so that I am not held accountable to him. On this side, you need to realize that you're going to stand in front of God someday and get account of everything you said, everything that you've thought, everything that you've done. Now, what's the fruit on this side? If you would, back in Romans chapter 1, what's the fruit on this side? Romans chapter 1, you'll see it. The basic motive of evolution is to get rid of God. You'll see that in Romans 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Okay, what's the fruit? What is the byproduct? What is the outcome from this side? The outcome, you'll see it in Romans 1, 26, 27, 28, sodomites. That's the outcome. Sodomite. You say, well, does that mean everybody on this side is going to be a sodomite? No, 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 it's not saying that. But that was what will be manifested. Now, the other things, if they're not a sodomite, drop down to verse 29, 30, and 31, and you'll see the other parts of this system. Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God. Any one of those will work. That's the fruit of this side. Okay, where they focus on the creation. The fruit on this side is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Against such there's no law. That's this side. When this side get in control, when this side get in control, hang on to your hat. Because you're a dead duck. And they won't even bat an eye at it. And that side is in control. When this side is in control, they will actually give liberty to that side for all the liberty they want, as long as their liberty don't cross over to me. It's an amazing thing. But this side over here will steal their liberty and kill them as quick as they can, because that's the threat. That's the threat. You see, and that's the fruit. That is the two basic philosophies of life. Whenever you deal with people, that's what you're dealing with. And when they're on this side, you are dealing with an out-and-out hypocrite. And what you got to do is you got to try to reveal to them their hypocrisy and reveal to them that they're going to be held accountable to a God someday. And they're going to stand in front of that God, and they're going to give an account of every word they've said, every thought they think, and every word, every action that they have done. Whether they like it or not, they're going to give an account to them. Now, the ones on this side, we need to do all we can to be consistent and faithful to please our Creator. Because we're going to stand in front of Him someday. Find out what He wants, find out what He likes, and do what He likes, and shun what He dislikes. And that's basically your two different viewpoints of life. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd help us to understand this. I pray you'd help us to see this. Help us to see that biblical Christianity is something that is logical, something that is reasonable, something that is even scientific. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to grasp this truth. And I pray you'd help us to find out that and realize that even the devil side, the evolutionary side, are going to try to counterfeit everything on God's side so they can hoodwink people to pull them over. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see through that, help us to realize that we each in this room, we're going to give an account to our Creator someday. And this Bible says, remember thou thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to also remember our Creator as we get older and older until we see you face to face. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. There's two basic thoughts or viewpoints about how to get eternal life. One is that you have to earn it. The other is your Creator provided a plan, and you just simply need to accept His plan. And when you accept His plan, He gives you eternal life. That's the other viewpoint. And Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And when you realize that He is God manifest in the flesh, and you realize that He is the Creator, Jesus Christ is, and you realize that He paid the price for man on Calvary Day, and the way you get eternal life is you come to Him, and to Him alone by grace through faith. You humbly receive Jesus Christ and what He did for you, and at that moment He gives you eternal life. And now you want to try to live to please Him. You cannot please Him until you start that first step, coming to Him by grace through faith. And then in the process, you try to realize that, hey, my life, I got to look at this life from the Creator's viewpoint rather than from my viewpoint. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. The piano's plays. The altar is open. If you're not certain that you have eternal life, we could show you in the Bible how you can know beyond a reasonable shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life in Jesus Christ, because it's a free gift. If you're uncertain of that, you can either come down and I have somebody show you, or you can just ask somebody afterwards and we can show it to you that way. If you are born again, remember that you're going to stand in front of your Savior and Creator and give an account of everything that we've done in our body. There are no other viewpoints to look at life, none whatsoever. It's narrowed down to these two and these two only. One is to focus on the creation or what has been created for your own pleasure, or the others you focus on the Creator and what He's done for His pleasure. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Lord, thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to discern these truths, this idea, these thoughts, help us to see the big difference. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to faithfully walk with you and serve you and try to reveal to others about the joy that we have, because we know for certain that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Lord, I just pray this would be a blessing to others. Help folks with this idea, with these truths. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're dismissed.